season I've not been in Matthew, I decided that we would just walk our way through the beginning of Luke. So a couple weeks ago, we started Luke chapter 1, and then we did all Luke 1, a couple weeks, and then Christmas Eve, we did the beginning of chapter 2, and then today, I'm just going to keep right on going, and then today we pick it up in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. So Friday night, when we were here for Christmas Eve, birth of Jesus, the shepherds, coming to visit. And so here, I just figured we'll just keep on going. Jesus is still young. Verse 21. Here, let's just read a little bit of what we're going to do today. Here we go. Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of young turtle doves or two young pigeons. We'll go on from there. So let's pray together. Lord, thanks for the time we have. So appreciate, Lord, your Holy Spirit just moving, drawing us to you. Lord, we want to be closer. We want to be more like you. We do. Accomplish that work. Thank you for this text today that we get to study. And may it just leap off the page. Do your work inside of our hearts through it, we ask, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know if you noticed when I was reading through, there are three events that occur in those few verses. One, Jesus needed to be circumcised. I'll trust you to study as to why. Two, Mary visits the temple for the rite of purification. Since she gave birth, she needed to have the rite of purification. We'll talk about that. And then the third thing is they needed to present the firstborn to the Lord. Every male, it said there, who opens the womb to be redeemed and paid for with the price of redemption. If Jesus hadn't gone through all these stipulations, according to the law of Moses, then Israel would have never accepted him as rabbi, as prophet, as teacher. So here, let's walk through those. For notice 21, 8 days were completed for the circumcision. According to the law of Moses, a baby boy was to be circumcised on the eighth day, even if the eighth day fell on a Sabbath. And on that day, they named the child. Tradition tells us that God changed Abram's name to Abraham on the day of circumcision. So the Jews always named their child on the eighth day. Joseph and Mary here are obedient to give their baby, the boy, the name that was told them by the angel. Remember, we talked about a little bit the other night? Jesus' name was his mission. Jehovah is salvation. And then on down the next little bit, 22, 23, and 24, Leviticus 12 outlines the law of purification. It said that since blood was involved during the birth of the child, the mother was ceremonially unclean. 48 days. If the child was a female, I don't know why God did. Am I cutting in and out? It might be a battery. It's been a little bit since we. Can I give you this then? No, it's okay. Okay, can we keep going then? So the law of purification. Can you get that, guys? But I need to get that closer to me, or am I okay? Is that better? So here's how it went, okay? After the circumcision, then Mary would wait 33 days. She'd go to Jerusalem for her purification ritual. And she needed to be ceremonially cleansed before she could enter the temple precincts again. So she needed to be purified with the sacrifice of a lamb for the burnt offering, or a turtle dove or a pigeon for the sin offering. But if a person was poor, couldn't afford a lamb, they could offer two birds. And since Mary offered two birds, it shows us that they come from very humble circumstances. Now, you might say in your mind, hang on a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I know that when those magi came, they brought him Frankenstein. And gold and myrrh, remember? Yeah, they did bring him. But the wise men didn't come until Jesus was about 2 years old. So they don't have that yet at this point in time. And like, that's the thing I want you to see, just through that little part, is the household that Jesus grew up in was rich spiritually, but poor materially. Jesus knew what it was like to live simply. He knew what it was like to hear his parents talk about how to make money stretch to the next paycheck. He knew what it was like to watch his dad work hard in order to pay the bills. And so, I don't know, for me, it's kind of cool to see it. Jesus was born in a very humble home. So they come to Jerusalem to present Jesus before the Lord, all three of them. And the law of Moses says that every male that opens the womb was to be given to the Lord, both animal and human. And the first born of an animal was slaughtered as a sacrifice. Sacrifice to the Lord. Every male child needed to be redeemed back from the Lord at the price of 5 shekels. And that price of redemption then could be paid to any priest, and then that money would be put in the temple treasury. So that's what this is all talking about, those three things. By the way, just a small little aside, you know, dedicating children to the Lord is a good thing. Infant baptism isn't in the Bible at all. The Bible speaks about dedicating your children to God, where the parents bring their child up in front of a body of believers and say, we recognize this kid is from God, and we want to raise this kid in the ways of the Lord. Now, we recognize the kid ultimately belongs to you, God. So we commit ourselves to following your principles as we raise these kids. So that's a good thing. That's kind of what this is all about here, too. So we see all these things taking place. But it's interesting to me what happens right here. Let's read a little bit of it. 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him that the Holy Spirit, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Notice God does not allow his son to be dedicated into a dead religious system. There's priests all around. Yet God sends Simeon, and if you look down just a little bit, we'll talk about her briefly, Annas. He sends that man and that woman to dedicate Jesus. These two had a vibrant personal relationship with God, and they were chosen to perform the dedication. Not men who followed some dead religious system. Notice in 25, now I use the New King James, so your words may be a fraction different. But in 25, it talks about Simeon was just and devout. The word just has to do with his relationship with other men. He did what was right toward his fellow man. Being devout describes his relationship with God. He was a holy man. And it also says that he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit who was waiting for the Messiah to come. You see the challenge in that verse? how it applies to us? Simeon made sure his relationship with people was right. Question, how's our relationship with one another? Not one another here necessarily includes that, but, you know, Christmas was yesterday. We were around family. How's your relationship? How's your relationship with your coworkers? How's your relationship with your neighbors? Do you need to make things right with someone? If so, I encourage you to do that. Simeon's relationship with God was also right. How you doing there? Is your relationship with God vibrant, intimate? And we can come to the Lord today and say, Lord, I confess I've drifted a little, and I want you to revive my heart. I want to be close to you, God. And we also see he was waiting for the Messiah. Are you expectantly waiting for Jesus to come back? I am. I am. I get so annoyed by the news. Simeon's hope was not in this world. His hope was not in the fact that Carson Wentz might lead the Colts to the Super Bowl, although that'd be awesome. I mean, I watched last night. I mean, it's fun to watch him play well. I don't know if you get HBO, but they're doing the little Hard Knocks thing. And, man, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of these guys on our team, they're solid Christian guys. So it's fun to watch them play well and do well and all that, but our hope isn't in the Colts. You know, I'm a Buckeye and all that, and somebody over just yesterday we were home in Ohio, and somebody said, how you doing after, you know, Ohio State lost to the dreaded Michiganers? And I said, you know, it's just football. It's just football. I mean, yeah, I want him to do well, but it's just football. It's not life. See, this dude, Simeon, his hope wasn't in any of that stuff. His hope wasn't in the status of the stock market, you know. His hope wasn't in his health or in his family. So a question I think needs to be asked. Give me a little bit of grace. There was a terrorist attack this afternoon. How would we respond? If this crazy pandemic really becomes terribly worse than what it is, and I'm not here to minimize what it is. Everybody's got their own viewpoint on that. But if it, you know, how would we respond if those kind of things happen? Would our faith be strong? Because we realize that our God is in control of everything and he's still on the throne? Or would we run around like our hair's on fire like everybody else? I personally know people who have barely left their house for 2 years because of this COVID thing. I mean, literally, barely left their house for 2 years, maybe a little long, well, however long it's been, you know. They've barely left their house. They're living in fear. And I'm not, you got to decide how to walk through this whole COVID thing. That's between you and Jesus, you know, and I'm good with that. But I don't want to live in fear. Moses leads the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and they get put right up against the Dead Sea, remember? Here comes the Egyptian army, biggest, maddest army in the world. They're trapped against the Dead Sea. There's the mountains. They're trapped. And the people all start complaining, remember? And they all start murmuring, saying, Moses, what in the world? You loser. How could you possibly bring us to this point? And if you're around here, you'll hear me say this a few times. I love it. Moses did not know what God was going to do. He did not know that God was going to part that sea that stood right behind him. He did not know. But he stands up, read it. He stands up and he says, don't quote me because this is the Toby paraphrase. Watch and see the power of God. I want to do that with my family when sickness comes and we're headed down to Riley. I want to do that to my family. We live northern Ohio, Findlay. Well, my cousin's dying. Well, I went up there and spent a couple hours with her yesterday. You know, and I want to be strong in those places.
I want my faith to be strong. I don't want to be, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, no, you know, I don't want to live like that. I want to live with a sense of God is in control. And yeah, we live in a dark world. Yeah, there's disease. Yeah, there's all these things. Yeah, people are hurting for whatever reason. Lord, I need you to give me the strong enough faith to believe your word in those play times. And to me, that's Simeon.
What was he? Was it just and devout or devout and just? Which way was it?
Just and devout. Okay. This dude, I'm just fascinated by this dude. Doesn't say much about him, really. But in my mind, he checks all the boxes of a spiritual dude. In my mind.
So at some point in time, 26, Simeon supernaturally knew that he wasn't going to die until he had seen the promised Messiah. And then the Holy Spirit leads Simeon to be at the temple when Joseph and Mary show up that day for Jesus to be dedicated. Isn't that crazy? Notice, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you see? The Holy Spirit spoke to him. And the Holy Spirit led him. Man, there's something there for us. There's something there. The Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. The Holy Spirit led him. I want that. I want that. Whatever that looks like. I want that. So here's an Old Testament believer who's a great example for us. He has things right on the horizontal with other people. He has things right on the vertical with God. He's waiting for the coming Messiah. And the Holy Spirit is on his life. Speaking to him, leading him. How cool is that? It serves to challenge us. Because I'm not there very often, unfortunately. So he's on his way to the temple. He goes and he's going to see the baby. Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God is on your life, and you hear him when he speaks to you, and you allow him to lead you, you are going to have encounters with Jesus Christ. That is the truth. If you allow the Holy Spirit to be a compass in your life, you will encounter the living Christ on a regular basis. And if you're around me when we pray, I pray that a lot for us, that we would have an encounter with the living God. I pray that for every one of our young people. I pray that for every one of us, that we would have an encounter with God. See, that's what the Holy Spirit's all about. To take the things of Christ and show them to us. That's what he's doing. Okay. So Simeon walks up to Mary. Can you put yourself there? Simeon, this old dude walks up to Mary, and Mary hands the baby. Who does that? And he praises the Lord. 28 on down through the next little verse where he does the dedication. 29. He recognizes that Jesus is the fulfillment. Excuse me. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise that God had given to him. And that Jesus was going to bring salvation to both Jew. And you see it there? And where is it? And middle 32. And to Gentiles too. And that the glory of Israel, the nation of Israel, was going to be blessed by this guy and the whole world. I like, just for me as I read through this, 29, when Simeon says, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. The only way to depart this world in peace is when your eyes have seen God's salvation. Jesus Christ. Every one of us is going to die. And those of us who've seen the salvation of the Lord will pass from this world in peace. Are you at peace about that? My story, okay? I was at the VA hospital. It's been quite a while. It was pre-COVID. It's probably been a good 8-10 years ago. VA hospital. One of us was down there, and they were going to die. And so they call, and I go down,
And I was walking down the hallway, and the room that the person I knew was on the left, and I opened the door and say, hey, I knew the family, and we talked for a little bit. And the guy was cognizant and aware, and we talked a bit, you know, just about Christ and all that. But all of a sudden, I hear this screaming from across the hall. No, no, go away, get away, get away. Ouch, that hurt. So I walk out into the hallway, and the door was open. There's this dude wrestling, just thrashing. All these like nurses and people running around trying to help him. Get him away from me. He was seeing demons coming. I stand in the middle of that hallway, and it's like, what a contrast between the one side where this dude's departing in peace and the other side where this dude is not. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. And the way for us to depart in peace is to have a relationship with Christ. All of us are departers. None of us are stayers or stick-arounders, you know? Some depart at 5, some depart at 40, some depart at 93, but all depart. Will you depart in peace? The only way for that to happen is for your eyes to see God's salvation. Now, if you don't know Christ this morning, today's the day. Get right with Jesus today. Okay, then here a little bit more. Joseph and Mary, 33. Excuse me. Marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, I wonder if they marveled because no one had ever said anything about Gentiles. And now I'm hearing this dude talk about Gentiles. Like, wow, that's pretty weird. But the whole thing has just got to be blowing them away as all this is unfolding. When I read about Simeon talking to Mary in particular, I think of the fact that what a person does with Jesus Christ is never a reflection on who Jesus is. Whether a person accepts or rejects Jesus is always a reflection of their own heart. Remember, they're departers. There's two categories of departers, acceptors and rejectors, and we choose our own category. And the sword that's spoken of there right in the beginning of 35, I won't say this very well, Thracian sword, it's a full body sword. It's the length of a human, okay? So it's 5 feet, 6 feet, that sword. And what he's saying as he talks about this sword is he's saying, when you watch Jesus in his life, there's going to be things that are just going to pierce you. Whether it's at the cross or whatever else happened throughout his life that, you know, people just rejected him. It'll be like some large sword just cutting her heart. Yeah, so here comes Annas, or Anna, I guess. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of, Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Can you imagine? And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, we're not told how old this girl is. One thing my mother always taught me is it's not polite to ask a woman her age. You know, so God doesn't reveal to us her age, that she was really old. This girl's a remarkable woman. As a widow, she knew pain and loss, but she hadn't become bitter. As an elderly woman, she hadn't lost hope. Maybe it was because she was a woman of worship and prayer. Notice she lived in the temple serving I'm so thankful for the prayer warriors in this church, the people who really, that's the calling that God has put on their life. I'm so thankful for you. Keep at it. And then the last verse we read there, she gives praise to the Lord. So there's Anna, there's Simeon, there's the shepherds. Don't you love how God brings people around us to encourage us when we're walking out God's calling? So I don't know all that Mary and Joseph were going through, family related and all that, but to have all these things happen to them had to give them a sense of, okay, this is really of God. Now, no one knows what happened to Joseph. The Bible doesn't speak to that. People come up with all these crazy ideas about Joseph. Scripture doesn't tell us how long Joseph lived. I don't think it's wise to speak into God's silence. What we do know is that Joseph was a godly man who raised Jesus according to the word of God. Right there, 39 teaches that. Read it with me. So when they had performed all things, returned to the law of the Lord, according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I'm not the best dad in the world. But from the moment that my oldest come out of the womb, I was to God saying, Lord, I so want to teach them your ways. My kids are in their 20s now. I still want to teach them their ways, God's ways, even as they're dealing with more adult things. The Bible verse that was quoted around our house more than any other Bible verse, Megan's sitting back there, she'd say it without even hesitating, is love covers a multitude of sins. And I made a lot of mistakes in my life related to my family. But love covers. Fellas, teach your children the things of God. It doesn't matter what age you are. Just keep investing in them. And that's what Joseph was about. So Matthew's gospel then tells us that before they go back to Nazareth, remember, they go to Egypt. Nasty old King Herod was going to murder all the young children age 2, I think, down. So he'd get rid of the Messiah king. So God, via an angel, speaks to Joseph. They pack up, head to Egypt until crazy old madman Herod died, and then they return to Nazareth. So that's where this is, right here. And in one sentence, we get a picture of Jesus' life from age 2 to age 12. You see it? 40. It's interesting to note that it's the first time in the New Testament the word grace is used. And a lot of people, you know, okay, this is what Jesus was doing when he was 5, and this is what Jesus was doing when he's 11, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't know why people feel like they have to speak into God's silence. I've heard it said, when Scripture has no tongue, we must have no ears. Yeah, that's true. So anytime you hear people talking about Jesus when he's 8, whatever. All right? Last thing, okay? Just the last thing. Nazareth was a Galilean town, notable for its debauchery. It was a military base for Roman soldiers. Very corrupt town. In fact, when Nathanael learns that Jesus is from Nazareth, remember he said, can anything good come from Nazareth? And yet, God chooses to raise his son in that type of town. And according to 40, he matured in the things of God there. So no matter where God chooses to have you live, whatever family, whatever apartment complex, whatever part of town, God gives us the grace to learn something positive from that circumstance and then mature into the person he wants us to be. I think all of us as parents want our kids to have things good and not easy necessarily, but we want things to be good for our kids. And yet God sometimes has to walk them through the valley, even at a young age, as he matures them in the things of God. You know, some lessons of life are learned by watching somebody do something good. And we learn from that and think, man, that's good. I want to emulate that. Other lessons of life are learned by somebody doing something really wrong. We still learn. And we say, whoa, you know what? You know why my story? And again, I was with family yesterday, and I was with my cousin who's a little older, and everybody in mom's side of the family, everybody smoked. My grandpa had video camera, one of the first ones out, and every video, the haze in the house is like thick. You could cut it with a knife. You remember, you grew up in homes like that too. But I remember I was young, I was probably 11 or 12, and I think, I am not going to smoke. I am not going to do it. I learned that that just wasn't. Now, if you smoke or not, that's between you and God. I'm just saying, for Toby, it was just a sense of, and Sandy's my wife, or she was raised with an alcoholic home. And from that, she learned, I am not going to live like that. So I think as we read through some of these things, we got to recognize God chooses how we're going to be raised and how we're going to live. And maybe you have in a really difficult job right now. God's still fashioning you through that. And don't bail until he releases you. Don't just say, I'm done. I can't deal with it anymore. We first have to say, Lord, do you want me to hang in there in this? And I think in our world, there's too much of this. I just want to bolt and run. I just don't want to deal with it anymore. I know it's hard, but we have to pray. God, do you give me permission? Are you releasing me from this? And when he does, then you run out of there. But until he does, you don't. Because you know he's teaching you something. He's maturing you in something. Now, it never applies to marriage, right? I mean, you said I'm in, you're in, right? So we're not talking about that. That's black and white. We're talking about some of these other things. It's going to be a little funky. You know, Dayton was here today. Dayton went down for his first semester to IU. Now he's moved back up to town. He's going to IU PUI. And it was a matter of him just trying to pray through, Lord, where would you have me live? Where would you have me do? He wants to be around, hard to believe, us, you know? And it's great. It's great. But God taught him a lot in Bloomington. We all have those stories, don't we? We all do. We all do. So don't wrestle against, God, why am I living in this apartment complex? You know? Yeah. Okay, Lord, as soon as you've taught me what I need to be taught, I'm ready to get out of here. Same with our jobs. Okay? So next week we're going to do follow through on what I think I'm going to do. We're going to do something about New Year's, and then we'll pick it up, Matthew, next time. Okay? Here, let's pray together. Lord, thanks for your word. Thanks for the stories of just Jesus coming into this world, but also then being raised in the things of you, God. We pray you just continue to build us up in the things of you, Lord. Help us to be yielded to your spirit as you're fashioning us more and more into the image of Jesus. We want that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.